Ready? All right, we're all ready. Well, we'll be ready when we get our handout sheets, right? In the meantime, you can turn to 1 Thessalonians for the faith. This is lesson 9 of 13, and we're going to do a two-part this time. Last week, we squeezed the entire lesson number 8, into one go, so we're going to split this one up into two parts. First Thessalonians, chapter 1. First Thessalonians, chapter 1. All right, I'll move the slide. As you can see from your sheet, today we're going to talk about living out a model of our faith. And this is a logical succession to what we talked about last week, growing in our faith. We talked about the measure, growing in the measure of our faith. And we kind of looked at our example was the Lord Jesus Christ. We said everyone needs to have a standard. We shouldn't be measuring ourselves how? Anybody tell me? Pardon? Among ourselves, right. I'm not to look at someone else and say, oh, well, I'm doing better than they are or whatever. Our standard is the Lord Jesus Christ. We look to Him, and the Bible teaches us that we're supposed to be growing unto His likeness, becoming, we're predestined to be like in His image, created in His image. So that's our goal, is to become more like Jesus. We also looked at some marks of a growing Christian. Of course, I won't repeat all those, but one of them was service in the church, and I forget what the other ones are now, but probably one of the standout statements in last week's lesson was this, and I won't quote it verbatim necessarily, but this is the gist of it. We ought to ask ourselves this question: how do I close the gap between where I am as a believer and who Jesus is? Remember that statement? And that was really a standout statement because that's what it all boils down to. If I look at Jesus, who He is, then I examine my life, where am I, and how do I begin to close that gap? Now, we're not going to get there in this lifetime, but we can creep closer and closer and closer, trying to grow in our faith, and that's really the key. We're meant to be growing. And so today's lesson is a logical follow-up to that lesson. And I think you'll see why as we get into it here. So let's read this passage. I'll make some opening remarks, some introductory remarks, and we'll get into the outline. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we're going to read verses 6 through 10. You know what? There's only 10 verses anyway. Let's read the whole chapter just so we can see the exact context. Verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. That would be a great sermon right there, wouldn't it? It's got 3 points. He said your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope. Great characteristics of this church in Thessalonica. Then verse 4. Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. All right, let's pray and we'll get started. Thank you, Lord, for this time to study your word. We always look forward to opening the book. And we pray that you'll teach us today. Help us now as we look at these examples, we look at this text to see what we can learn to help us to be more like you and to, yes, grow in our faith and to do the things that you'd have us to do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we read in this passage here, we kind of get the feeling that Paul's saying, wow, you guys in Thessalonica, your faith is heard of. He says, I don't have to say anything. Your faith speaks for itself. He almost says, you know, every place I go, they're talking about the Thessalonican believers. And he says, your faith has really spread abroad, really, in every place. In other words, they had become models of their faith. Or we could say it this way, their faith was working its way out. It was working its way out. And there's a verse in Scripture that talks about working out your salvation. It doesn't mean, hey, work it out, you know, save yourself. But it's talking about that salvation that's in you, let it work its way out so that others, and we'll talk about this in a minute, but others can see your faith. And so that's kind of what it's talking about there. Well, the author of this book, of course, is the Apostle Paul. And you'll remember that before Paul was saved, he was a fierce persecutor of Christians. I mean, his mission was to go around and to locate believers and to beat them or kill them or drag them into jail or whatever. He was just persecuting the church. Of course, along comes Acts chapter 9, the great story of the road on when he was on the road to Damascus, and great salvation story. Paul then, and I like what preacher said last week. Paul was going 100 miles an hour this way, and when he got saved, he just kept on. He had the same zeal, the same character. He just kept on. He just redirected that, and now he's on fire for the Lord, and he's going about. Of course, shortly after that, he started traveling as a missionary. He completed 3. Missionary journeys, and on one of those journeys, he came to a place, a city called Thessalonica. And at that place, he was able to do the work of God, see people saved, church established. After he left there, he wrote back to them this letter. Some Bible scholars believe that this is the first letter that Paul wrote. That's neither here nor there, but anyway, he wrote this letter back to these Thessalonican believers after he had left. And at the beginning of this epistle, or this letter, Paul makes this statement describing the kinds of Christians that these believers were. We find it in verse 8 where he says, notice this phrase, in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. And these believers had grown to the point that they, as I said already, they had become living models or living patterns of their faith others could see. And so we're going to talk a little bit about models, and as you can see in the title here, living out a model of our faith. So I think with that, we can have a couple introductory remarks here. Oh, I want to show you this real quick. We looked at this last week just a little bit. Starting last week, we changed gears a little bit. The first 6 weeks, or I should say the last 6 weeks, because it's been 7, the first was a separate lesson, and then the following 6, we talked about defining our faith, which was identifying beliefs, our doctrines, and that relates to hearing the word, and these next remaining weeks, we'll look at demonstrating our faith. So we've defined it, now let's demonstrate it, and this is identifying behaviors. It has to do with our daily living, and of course it has to do with doing the word, not just hearing the word. And so anyway, let's get on to our worksheets here. Well, let's first define the word model. And so a model is a system or thing used as an example, and here's your 2 words, to follow or imitate. And that's really what we're going to look at. The next part of the The definition is fine as well. A person or thing regarded as an excellent example of a specified quality. Of course, that certainly would apply to the Lord Jesus, and it would apply to the Apostle Paul to some extent. But a system or thing used as an example to follow or imitate. That's important. To be models of the faith, we must begin by allowing the Word of God and the Spirit of God to take deep root in our hearts, so that their influence and power within us grows to the point that it works its way out. Amen? That's really what it's all about. If I have the Word of God and it's in me, and I've got the Spirit of God working in me, and I let it take such deep root in my heart and in my life that it begins to influence, its influence begins to help me to influence others. It begins working its way out. My faith works its way out. You may know people like that. They are kind all the time. They control their tongue. They don't fly off the handle. They seem to have character. They have discipline. These are some telltale signs of someone who has the Word of God and the Spirit of God deep in their heart, deep in their lives, because they are just pretty much on even keel. It's not, you know, they're not living a life like this, up and down, up and down. One day they're happy. We talked about this last week. One day they're happy. Next week they're depressed or mad or angry. We called it roller coaster Christianity. Well, someone who is steeped in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's controlling them, they have this even keel about them, and guess what? Others are watching, and they're learning from them, and they're able to influence people for good and for God. And we'll talk a little bit more about that here shortly. Let's get one more before the outline. Oh, sorry, our text for that particular point was this. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Look what he says, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And that's not the Thessalonians. Guess who this is? The Roman church. He says to the church at Rome, look, your faith is spoken of all around the world. And that's a blessing. So we see from Paul's opening remarks to the church at Rome, we're not going to turn there, but this is one of the things he said just in that verse we looked at, that the Roman believers became models of faith just like the Thessalonians did. And that's a blessing to have the Apostle Paul say to you, hey, your faith is heard of all around the world. People are talking about your faith and how you're influencing others with your faith and how you're doing the work of God and you're getting things accomplished and you're getting it done. You're doing it. You're doing it by faith. And everywhere I go, they're speaking about your faith. Well, that's quite a commendation, isn't it? It's quite a good thing to have said about you. Let's see, I'm behind on my notes here. I'm going to catch up to myself. Well, that brings us to the outline. So here we go. We're going to see some facets here that Paul will see, of course, from the text that we're in, different facets of this faith. And again, we're going to look at it in two parts. But did I give you the? Yeah, I gave you that already. We're going to look at it in two parts, but we're going to start here with the outline. Number one, theirs was a willing faith. Theirs was a willing faith. And let's look back at verse 6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost. Now, it doesn't use the word willing there, but it's kind of implied, because even though these folks were being afflicted, they still received the word. It says in much affliction. They became followers of Paul and his entourage anyway, and of course following the Lord. Even though there was affliction and things, you know, harassing them, they were willing, they had a willing faith. Letter A is this: they were willing to follow. That's what it says there. He says, you became followers of us. A follower is an imitator. Not a baked potato, but an imitator. a follower is someone who imitates. We are little we are supposed to be little Christs, Christ-like ones. That's what Christian means. And we're to be imitators of Jesus. These folks, as we'll learn about here in a minute, but these folks were sort of imitators of the Apostle Paul, but he pointed them to Christ. And we'll say more about that in a second, but that's okay. He was being a good example for them. This isn't one of those things where they were comparing themselves among themselves. They just said, hey, here's a person who's a good example, and let's follow him. And because he's going the right direction, he's going toward the Lord, and he'll take us towards the Lord, and so therefore we can imitate him. In other words, these believers came to imitate the life of the Apostle Paul, and of course, ultimately, the life of Jesus Christ. Some people sometimes refuse to follow humans. It's just a spirit of rebellion. They say, I don't need to follow anybody. Here's the truth. Everybody follows somebody. This is human nature. You are following somebody, and it might be good or bad. But everybody follows somebody, and that's just how it is. And so when someone says, well, I'm not going to follow, you know, oh yeah, they're following somebody, you can mark it down. Let's move on. Well, these guys, these folks at this church, they were willing to follow. They followed their leadership. Speaking of Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, as we read in verse 1, they were following their leadership. And here's the verse I was alluding to. I didn't say it yet exactly, but this is it. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church and said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. In other words, Paul said, look, I'm following the Lord, and so you can follow me, because I'll take you to him. If it was all about him and doing his own thing and trying to gather a following, that wouldn't be good. But because he's following the Lord, he said, you can follow me, and it's safe to do that. These Christians understood, this is a good statement, that men of God are a gift from God, provided to us so that they might give direction. That should have been one of your underlined words there, direction, offer counsel, and step out in leadership. Bless you. So that ought to be our mindset, you know. Our pastor is a gift from God. And we ought to view it as such. God has blessed us with leadership, and that's a gift directly from God, and we ought to be thankful for that. And that leader will do these things. They provide direction, whether it be through preaching, or as it says here, can be through counsel. They are stepping in the role of leadership, and they're trying to lead us closer to the Lord. And as Paul said, follow me as I'm following him. And that's a good point. Next. Here's this one. Be followers of God as dear children. So number two, they followed their Lord. So they followed their leadership. Now they're following the Lord. And that makes sense, because Paul said, hey, if you follow me, you are following the Lord. Put it this way. All healthy human leadership ultimately results in divine leadership. In other words, a godly pastor will point the followers to Jesus. And I'm being redundant, but that's what Paul was saying. Be followers of me, even as I am of Christ. Why? He says, you can follow me because I'm going to point you to Christ. I'm going to point you toward the Lord and have you follow him. Ultimately, you're really following him. When you're following me, you're following him. So a godly pastor will point folks to Jesus. Next. Not only were they willing to follow, but they were willing to suffer. Remember we read a moment ago, they received the word in much, what was that word? Much affliction. They received the word in much affliction. So they were willing to suffer. Got a couple of verses for you here. 2 Timothy 3, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And then John 16, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. So he doesn't necessarily promise it's a great time or a good time here. But he says, look, don't worry, I've overcome the world. And so just speaking about this idea of suffering. Well, A model of faith, as we're talking about this model, gives people a means of seeing faith. I read that, and this passage came to my mind in James, where he says, you know, you want to talk about your faith, and he says, well, you know, show me. You're going to show it by your works. That's how you're going to show me your faith. And James was kind of saying, look, I want to be able to eyeball your faith, because often we think of faith as an intangible thing that you can't see. Well, Paul's teaching us here that your faith is to be lived out. It's to work its way out from the inside. It's to be, you're to create a model or a pattern that others can follow. So yeah, we can see faith. Our faith may be invisible to us, but others could see your faith by your works, by how you're living. And so they can eyeball your faith. And that's what Paul's talking about here. So a model of faith gives people a means of seeing faith. When a believer, this is so good here, when a believer suffers yet remains faithful in his love for and service to the Lord, they truly see faith in action. And wouldn't that be so true with these believers at Thessalonica? They receive the word with much affliction. And yet all those around the world who Paul was referring to, he's like, every place I go, they're speaking about your faith. They're talking, hey, those people in Thessalonica, man, they're having a tough time. They are being afflicted. They're suffering. And yet they're remaining, their love for the Lord is remaining strong, and their service to the Lord is through the roof. Wow, that's faith. That's some kind of faith. And so that's why Paul said, hey, it's no wonder they're speaking, talking about your faith, because they are seeing it. They're seeing it play out. They're seeing your faith work its way out, and that's a blessing. And that ought to be how we live. We ought, regardless of circumstances, regardless of what's going on, regardless of corona, regardless of your car not starting this morning, regardless of whatever the case may be, we ought to remain strong in our love for the Lord, remain strong and dedicated in our service to the Lord. Just keep on keeping on. That's called being faithful. And, you know, I've said this so many times. I can't play the piano. I'm not that great of a singer. I'm not even that good of a preacher. There's lots of things I can't do, but I can be faithful. That's one thing I can do. Everybody can be faithful. You can, and you should. And you ought to work at it and let that grow your faith. Be faithful. All right, well, let's go on to the next thing here. I don't think I have any. Yeah, I've got one more, sorry. This is kind of an ouch statement. This will be a finger in your eyeball maybe, but if our dedication to Christ depends on whether things are going exactly the way you want them, then you're gaining the respect of no one and you are giving no glory to Jesus Christ. That's kind of what I was just harping about a moment ago. You know, things aren't going to always go our way, and when they don't, we don't stop. You know, it always kills me. People say, well, you know, this has happened. I'm going to stop coming to church for a while. I'm going to just sit it out for a while. What? You don't stop coming to church. You stay faithful. You keep on going. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. You stay faithful to the Lord. And you love Him and serve Him. And you just keep on keeping on. That's called faith. And your faith working its way out. And being an example for others. You know, this came to my mind, this corona thing that's been happening for the last year. I wouldn't be surprised if there's other churches in the region that say, you know, that they're speaking of our faith. You know, that Grace Baptist Church in North Ridgeville, they never close their doors. Faith. Amen. Amen. Speaking of the faith of this church, hopefully that it's influenced or helped others to say, wow, they just kept on keeping on. They maintained. They kept doing what God wanted them to do, regardless of the circumstances. And maybe they're speaking of our faith. I hope they are saying good things about us. Amen. Doesn't matter if they're not, because we're still going to keep on keeping on. But number two, let's move on here. Number two. So they had a willing faith. They were willing to follow their leadership, which we all ought to be willing to do. They were willing to follow their Lord. And that we go on to say, well, if they are following the leadership, they are following the Lord. ultimately. And so, secondly, theirs was a watched faith. We've kind of been alluding to this already, but we're going to drill down a little further here. Theirs was a watched faith. Paul was, already saying to them, look, all around the world, people are speaking about your faith. In other words, others are watching you. You Thessalonian believers, others are looking and watching you. They're watching you stay strong in your love. They're watching you stay strong in your service. They're impressed. They're talking about it. They're fascinated by your growth in faith and how your faith is working its way out. They are watching you. And he's commending them for this. Well, that takes us back to verse 7 in our text. And Paul uses this word. He says, so that ye were ensamples. Often we say the word example. Believe it or not, they're actually two separate words. And maybe we'll say something about it here in a minute. But you were ensamples to all that believe where? Now keep in mind, this church we're talking about is located where? Thessalonica. He says that that church is being examples or ensamples to those who believe in these other areas, specifically Macedonia to the north and Achaia to the south. And that's amazing. And so that tells us about their imprint, the imprint of their pattern. We use the word imprint on purpose here because it kind of describes this word ensample. And it does mean example, but with a little extra twist. Let me read for you here what it says. It carries with it the idea of being an example, but with a unique emphasis. It literally means a die or a shape or a model used for imitation or a pattern. Here's a simple example of that. Molly will be able to relate to this. If you're a seamstress, you've done some sewing. When you lay your material out, as if I know a lot about it. you lay your material out and you put down what? A pattern, and it already has the shape. And then you take that little miniature pizza cutter, right? And you can roll it on the cloth, and you can just trace right around that shape and cut out a perfect piece of cloth that matches the pattern. And that's kind of what this word ensample means. It has to do with being such a die or a shape or a pattern for the purpose of imitation, to reconstruct an exact replica, you might say. Well, Paul, sorry, my voice cracked there. But Paul challenges us to live such a life that, and here's a little parenthetical phrase here, though not perfect, because we're not, but would be worthy of imitation. Amen? What if you and I could be like that sewing pattern that we could lay on to someone else or another, maybe a younger believer, or stand next to them, or, we lay ourselves there, and they could trace that and become like us, so to speak, or like Paul said, be followers of me because I'm following the Lord. Here's what you do. Here's how you do it. Here's how you live. Here's what you read. Here's how you pray. And be an example to someone else. Be an ensample. Maybe I should use that word. So we're challenged to live lives that are worthy of imitation. Take it a step further. The idea is that the shapes, the twists, the turns of our lives, in other words, our words, our actions, this is a long one, sorry to make you write so much, but these are good. Our words, our action, hey, this one, our responses. Our decisions. And our priorities would provide a pattern to which others will match. Amen? Now that's quite the list, isn't it? Paul's telling us, hey, look, your words, what you say, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Your words ought to be an example and a pattern to others that they can imitate. If they see you saying, oh, they see you flying off the handle, they see you saying improper words, they see you, you know, cursing or whatever, they see you, you know, getting angry with your words, they see you just not, you're not being a good example of what the Lord would want. None of that are actions. What is your, you know, how do you behave, how do you carry yourself, how do you behave yourself? What is your deportation is an old word that we don't use much anymore. Your conversation is a bit of a biblical word, meaning more than speech, but your entire being. And then this one, your responses. That is so good. Because sometimes we're triggered by something. We respond in a bad way, which might mean flying off the handle, punching something, hitting the wall, whatever. How do we respond? You know, the Holy Spirit should be controlling all of these things. What about our decisions and what about our priorities? And we talked a little bit about priorities last week. Remember the wheel, the hub? Jesus is in the center, not us. And we talked a little bit about priorities. And so we want to have these things lined up in such a way that it provides a pattern to others who are watching. And so these Thessalonian believers were being watched. Now here's the thing. I mean, I said a moment ago, there's always someone watching. You cannot opt out. You can't opt out of being a pattern. You can only determine what kind of pattern to be. You say, well, I can opt out, can I? No. Because the truth is, you know, just like I said a moment ago, everybody's following somebody. Well, this is similar to that, somebody is watching you. Somebody is watching you. They're looking to see, how's this person live? Especially if they know you're a believer. Unbelievers like to eyeball believers to see, try to catch you. Oh, believers don't talk like that, or, you know, whatever. So but someone's always watching. And it's important when unbelievers are watching, because we want to be a good example, a good testimony. But I think it's more important to be a good example, a good pattern, a good model for other believers, especially new believers who are trying to navigate this Christian thing and are trying to, you know, understand, well, I got this new salvation. What's this all about? They're trying to navigate the landscape of that. And boy, they are looking to other believers to figure it out. And very important. So somebody is watching. Oh, they're always watching. Paul said this to Timothy. He said, let no man despise thy youth. Watch what he says now. But be thou an example of the believers. And then he lists some similar things that we just said. In word, in conversation, that's your behavior. In charity, how you love. In spirit, in faith. In purity. Timothy, people are watching you, and you need to be a good example in all these areas and more, really. And so that's the idea. Very, very, very good. That's a very good verse for us in context of what we're talking about here. So we cannot opt out. All right, letter B. So that was all the imprint of their pattern. Folks are watching. Now, the extent of their pattern. And I hope you're following now, because why are we saying pattern? Because we're talking about modeling or being a pattern that others can follow. And so they certainly had an imprint or an effect, you might say, on those other believers in other regions. And now we're going to talk about, well, what was the extent of it? What was the extent of the pattern? Well, the extent of the Thessalonian pattern reached all the way to Macedonia and Achaia. That's what Paul said. So look back at verse 7. We'll see it again. Paul said to them, so that ye were examples, that's models, to all that believe, where? In Macedonia and Achaia. Okay, I think I've got a little map here just to give you an idea. So you can see Thessalonica up to the north there. Macedonia is to the north of there. It's a huge region. But believers way up there, and on a map you say, oh, it looks like it's next door, but consider the mode of travel in these ancient times, and but look where Achaia is this region down here, and that seems to be further. And so Paul's telling them, look, your faith is being spoken of. You have impacted other believers in Macedonia and even down in Achaia. They've heard of your faith, and you've really left an imprint on them. You have blessed them with your faith. And that leads me to say this, which I think is really cool. Later, as in maybe 6 years later, Paul wrote a letter to the Corinthian church, which of course we have in our Bibles, and was praising the Macedonians as role models. Do you see the connection? So Thessalonica was living out their faith. It was being heard of over in Macedonia or up in Macedonia to the extent that they began living like the Thessalonians were. And now later, Paul says to the Corinthians, hey, you guys ought to be like the Macedonians. Well, where did they get it? They got it from the Thessalonians. Isn't that Christianity for you? Turn to 2 Timothy 2:2, just a few pages over here. Second Timothy 2, I'll read verse 1, but 2 is what I want you to see. 2 Timothy 2, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, watch now, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Do you see it? Paul said, Tim, the things that you learn from me, you teach it to someone else so that they can then in turn teach it to someone else. And that's kind of the picture we see here with the Thessalonian believers. They were being an example to others, in this case, the Macedonian believers and the believers in Achaia. And then they became a pattern for the Corinthians. Paul commended them. Hey, look at the Macedonians now. And so that was the extent of the pattern. Here's the scripture I was referring to. It's 2 Corinthians 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed, watch, on the churches of Macedonia. How that in great trial of affliction, well, that sounds familiar. It sounds like the guys at Thessalonica. A great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Very familiar passage. We use that in teaching faith promise, but I primarily wanted to see that first sentence there. He was bragging on the churches of Macedonia. Of course, they grew by seeing the example of the Thessalonians. All right, let's go on. That brings us to the third facet that I want us to see. So theirs was a willing faith. So regardless of the affliction, they willingly followed their leader. They willingly followed their Lord. Theirs was a watched faith. So believers around the world, and particularly Macedonia and Achaia, are watching them. And now theirs was, I left out the A. Theirs was a witnessing faith. Theirs was a witnessing faith. So let's go back to verse 8 again. And it's really the first few words, the first phrase here. For from you, Thessalonians, here it is, sounded out the word of the Lord. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith to Godward is spread abroad. So that phrase, you have sounded out the word of the Lord. And so we're actually going to see that here in a second. So first of all, they witnessed with the word. He says, you sounded out the word of the Lord. And so they were witnessing with the word, which leads us to the next statement there. The word of God sounded out from the Thessalonians. Amen. Every time I've had to move, whether it be to another city within a state or even interstate, we've made moves. Of course, on top of the priority list is the church. Often, if I know I'm going somewhere, my first move is to begin looking for the church. Where will I go to church? And of course, one of the deciding factors of the church is this right here. Are they sounding out the Word of God? In other words, is it a soul-winning church? Do they witness? Do they believe in witnessing? And many of the things on the checklist, of course, but this is one of them, is to make sure it's a church that not only preaches the Word of God, but sounds it out in such a way they're taking it beyond the four walls of the church building. Amen. And that's one of the things that should be on your list, is to say, hey, if I ever have to move to another place, I want to make sure I'm in a church that is doctrinally sound, they use the right Bible, they believe in soul winning, which would be this point here we're talking about, and so forth. So you need to have that kind of a list that you can check those things off. But this church was sounding out the word of the Lord. And that leads me to say this. This is the job of every church today, to make a loud noise about the truth of the Bible and the salvation that is available through Christ. I didn't realize we were over. I thought we were moving along nicely, but we're at the end. So, and then the conclusion, the faith of the Thessalonian believers was genuine and it was growing. It was genuine and growing. All right, well, we're going to stop there. We're right in the middle of a point where we stopped on letter A. But we're going to pick it up next week and conclude the lesson. Thank you for your attention. We'll take a break.